From Spokane Public Radio, this is SPR News Today. I'm Doug Nadvornik, and this is Tuesday, July 28th, 2026. Brian Koberger is back in the news. What appeared to be a settled resolution to the murders of four University of Idaho students may not be so settled. The El Niño weather pattern is likely to have an effect on our weather this year. We'll hear more about that. The U.S. appears to be backsliding on its progress in reducing ozone pollution. And we'll meet with Aaron Croft, one of the few third-party candidates running for legislative office from Eastern Washington. Those stories and more coming up on SPR News Today. Brian Koberger, the former Washington State University grad student who pleaded guilty to killing four college students in Moscow in 2022, wants to reopen his case. Koberger is serving four life sentences in prison after his plea last July. He has now filed a petition for post-conviction relief, and court records suggest he's representing himself. In an interview from prison, Koberger told the New York Times he's seeking to abandon his guilty plea and have a trial. He said the plea, quote, hinged on false promises and blatant disinformation and must be withdrawn. Koberger is claiming ineffective legal counsel. He says in a handwritten filing made public by court officials and cited by the New York Times that his lawyers failed to disclose or review certain important evidence. For years, the United States generally made steady progress on hazardous ozone pollution. But wildfires appear to be upending that success. It's a trend with significant health implications. From our partners at the Mountain West News Bureau, Murphy Woodhouse has details.
Through the mid-2010s, ozone concentrations were steadily decreasing across the country. And then, according to new research published in the journal Science, that trend switched, offsetting nearly 4 years of mitigation efforts. Author Meng Zhou says that in the American West, as a region, the reversal was even more dramatic.
The ozone trend reversed since 2015, and that is basically wiped out around, to the maximum 6 years of, the Clean Air Act's efforts.
The reversal also comes with significant health implications. Since 2013, the researchers estimate that nationwide, more than 300 additional deaths annually are attributable to the rise in surface-level ozone pollution. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Murphy Woodhouse.
Firefighters will have one more day of hot and windy conditions today. The smoky air is due to move out of the region by tonight. In Spokane Valley, watch duty reports the Little Baldy Fire, which started yesterday, is about 70% contained. It's burning about 65 acres. Fire officials have issued a level 2 evacuation warning. At the Kaiser Canyon Fire, Washington's largest level 2 and 3 evacuations remain in place. One traffic note, the Washington Department of Transportation is operating its Keller Ferry now 24/7 to allow people who need to flee wildfires on the Colville Reservation to have an extra evacuation route. The ferry allows traffic on State Route 21 to cross the Columbia River. Level 2 evacuations are in effect for residences near the Sinlahiquin Fire in Okanagan County. That fire has grown to more than 940 acres, and it's expected to continue growing. Helicopters and other airplanes are working to support ground crews as they work to connect fire lines. And one other fire note, the team that's working the Bradeen Hill Fire near Gifford in Stevens County will hold a community meeting at the Addy Fire Station tonight at 6. That fire is burning about 3,400 acres. It's threatening homes and other structures. Level 3 evacuations are in place. Federal researchers say there's an 80% chance of a very strong El Niño weather pattern by this fall. John Ryan from KUOW reports on one surprising impact that could have in Washington.
For the Pacific Northwest, El Niño boosts the odds of a warm, dry winter, a meager snowpack, and bad wildfires. It also boosts ocean temperatures. When seawater, or any liquid, gets warmer, it expands. That's why climate change has been raising sea levels. A big El Niño can swell the ocean enough to raise sea level by about a foot. That means flood-prone coastal areas could have a rough winter. Congresswoman Emily Randall is urging the Trump administration to speed up its long-delayed funding to help cities near Grace Harbor with their flood defenses. A federal judge in December ordered the administration to restore that funding. Randall says Aberdeen and Hoquiam have waited long enough, with more than 2,000 properties at risk of flooding. I'm John Ryan reporting.
Spokane public health officials say they've discovered a bat carrying rabies. The health district reports a lab test conducted on a bat last week confirms the animal was carrying the viral disease. It also reports no people or animal were exposed. This is Spokane County's first case of rabies this year and the fifth in Washington. To avoid contact with bats, authorities recommend you keep your doors and windows screened at night, keep your pets inside, and close your exterior doors, including your pet doors, to the outside. Three candidates hope to replace Spokane Republican Jenny Graham in the Washington State House of Representatives. One of them is independent Aaron Croft. Croft is a retired Air Force veteran who says he's progressive in his political views, but doesn't believe the Democratic Party is effective. Croft told me he thinks the legislature needs more problem solvers.
You know, the thing I learned throughout my career over and over again that was reinforced was the fact that people are what make the difference. Air Force changed its motto many times throughout my career. The one they landed on the most really rubbed me the wrong way. It was mission first and people always. And I had commanders that exemplified that mission first, people always mindset. And I had some amazing commanders that showed me a better way, where if you put the people first, the mission always gets done at a very high level. When your people can, you know, not be stressed by these outside factors and things that are, you know, causing them to lose their hair at night or lose sleep at night and, you know, not really be able to focus on all the other things because they're barely hanging on financially or they know they have a medical condition that they have to go get seen for, but their coverage is garbage, so they're totally afraid of the bill that's going to surprise them at the end of that. When you can protect people from those worries, they're able to focus on the things that they need to do that aren't necessarily the most fun in the world, you know, going to work. But that enables them to do their jobs at a very high level because they don't have those outside stressors weighing on them all day long, every day. And so to me, every elected representative should be focused on the people. And that's not what I see.
You made the calculation to run as an independent rather than a Democrat or Republican in a two-party system. That's pretty hard to do. So why did you decide that?
I grew up in a very, very Republican household, very conservative. You know, union was a four-letter word that you should never say in good context. And I learned over and over again that that was wrong, you know. Workers' rights are wildly important. You look at our country before unions came along and, you know, the workers were in these squalid conditions, you know, and death and injury were a common thing. You know, unions came into the picture, workers' rights, collective bargaining agreements, and it started to make not just the members of the union's lives better, but the members or the people surrounding those areas where the unions forced conditions to improve. My highest role was to take care of people. And I'm not seeing that on the Republican. I'm not seeing that on the Democrat side. I watched a party that used to be concerned with fiscal conservatism, you know, and being good stewards go from what it was back in the day to, you know, we just passed the second largest, you know, most expensive bill that has ever been done. And it's hurting working people. All of the benefits, all of the cuts went to the top, you know, top 10%. Everybody technically gets a break. But, you know, when you take into account the cuts that went to Medicaid and SNAP and all this, they're seeing a net loss, you know, so that's hurting people. And then on the Democrat side, I see them saying all of the right things, but a lack of firm leadership enables, you know, them to get steamrollered every time and the people lose out. And then on top of that, there are just simple cases where it feels like Democrats are saying the right things, but their actions prove that they're basically looking out for their donors or the party, their donors and corporations. And then if there's some white space left over, they think about, okay, what do we do for the people? And so that kind of, you know, turned me off as I was coming out of the Republican Party, I couldn't go into the Democratic Party because I just, you know, don't agree that they're doing everything that they can.
That's Aaron Croft, who is an independent candidate running for the state house in Washington's 6th legislative district. SBR News Today is a production of Spokane Public Radio. Reporting today was contributed by Lauren Patterson, Murphy Woodhouse, Jordy Jones, John Ryan, and me, Doug Nadvornik. Thank you for listening. This is SBR News.